Ever gone skydiving? Ever stood precariously in the open doorway of an airplane, knowing that in just a moment you will find yourself being pulled like a stone toward the ground and trusting that a large piece of fabric will keep you from death? Probably some of us have done that and are here, alive and well. Have you ever been a half a mile under the earth's surface, underwater, deep in a cave, unable to see your hand in front of your face for all the silt that has stirred up, relying on a line of thread to guide you, hopefully, back to earth's surface? Most of us do not engage in what we consider risky behaviors. Probably the most dangerous thing we intentionally do is drive our cars. And even that doesn't feel particularly risky, even though there is statistical proof that it is. We prefer stability. We prefer to have our feet planted safely on the ground. We like to feel certain and sure and safe. We put our money in banks, not in coffee cans. We have locks on our doors and even security systems with panic buttons to be pushed when we think an intruder is lurking around. The disciples didn't have elaborate security systems that we do, but they did have locks. And they liked the feeling of being safe, protected from those who would do them harm. At least most of them did. Evening had fallen on the day of the resurrection, and 10 of the disciples sat behind locked doors. The same group that had crucified Jesus would probably come after them next. Peter had denied knowing him, had refused to admit he was one of his followers, but his hasty denial, no matter how fervent, didn't hold much water. Too many people around the countryside had noticed that this group were Jesus' constant companions. Fear had set in. Insecurity. It would be too risky to go out. Why be foolish? Why take that sort of risk? Nothing good could possibly come from going out. Yet Thomas did. He wasn't there. He wasn't going to be locked up, holed in like some frightened rabbit. There had been rumors that Jesus had been resurrected. But who could possibly believe that nonsense? The conversation in the room vacillated between the events of the last few days and the current dire-seeming situation. James and John were developing a plan, still trying to manipulate the situation so they could finally get their rightful places of honor. Peter sat in stunned silence, the events of Thursday night playing over and over in his head. Jesus said that before the cock crowed, I would deny him. How could he have known? How could I have done that? I can't believe I failed so miserably. But then again, anyone else would have done the same thing. If I had admitted that I was with him, I would have probably been hanging on a cross right next to him. No one in their right mind would take such a risk. Andrew and Philip were puzzling over the situation, replaying the events that led up to this time. The mood was somber, to say the least, charged only by the energy of trying to hold things together, trying to remain safe, trying to remain secure. There in the room suddenly became deadly calm. The fear and foreboding momentarily evaporated. How could this be? No way. Jesus stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. The wounds were clearly visible, yet something had changed about him. Sensing their insecurity, Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace be with you." They must have wondered why on earth he would say such a thing. He obviously knew how dangerous the situation was. He had just suffered at the hands of the authorities and been killed. How could he possibly say, "Peace be with you"? Surely he knew how risky the situation was right now. But he didn't leave it at that. As if saying, "Peace be with you," was not incongruent enough, he went on to breathe the Holy Spirit on them and give them the power that up to this point was his alone, the power to forgive sins. Perhaps this was a bit premature, because it seems that they continued in their safe stagnancy, holed up, shut apart, away from those who could have benefited by this new power of forgiveness. Thomas, who wasn't locked up safely, missed this time in the presence of Jesus. And it was hard for him to imagine that what his companion said had really occurred. And because of his desire to see for himself, he has gone down in history with the name Doubting Thomas. That seems a bit harsh. Peter has not been known throughout the centuries as denying Peter. And James and John have not been referred to as the power-hungry brothers. More importantly, Thomas's need for assurance did not earn him an immediate rebuke from Jesus. Jesus came to Thomas and gave him the opportunity to see just as the others had seen before. Jesus gave Thomas what he needed. He met Thomas in his doubt and questioning, just as he had met the others in their insecurity, and said, "Be at peace. Do not doubt. Take the risk. Give up your false security and go out into the world and forgive." What sort of locks do we have in place that keep us holed up with a sense of false security? What barriers have we built around ourselves that make us feel safe and keep us from moving into the world to spread forgiveness? Christianity is risky business. To be followers of Christ, the barriers that divide must come down. The walls and locks that are in place to keep us safe from the hurts of the world must be torn down and thrown open. First, we must take the risk of believing. The risk of allowing ourselves to be free from all the things that bind us up. We must believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing that we could be so loved involves a risk, because we know how unlovable we can be. And we know how unfaithful we can be. We know the place of Thomas and of Peter and of James and John. Yet, we are each called by name to be Christ's own forever. And in that naming, we are called to move out, to take the risk of being vulnerable in the world and vulnerable to the world. Nothing in the world can hurt you. Take the risk. Unlock the bolts. Tear down the walls. Move into the world in peace and forgive. Amen.